in 2 Chronicles 34, the revival under Josiah. The most notable thing about this revival is that Josiah became the king when he was 8 years old. Have you ever given much thought to that, that Josiah was king when he was 8 years old? I wonder at how young he was, immature, without experience or knowledge, to take over the leadership of a nation. It's pretty incredible. But then I think about some of these candidates that are running for president, and I kind of feel like maybe some eight-year-olds would do a better job. Sad to say. 2 Chronicles 34, and I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I guess I could ask Greg to do that, but as you can notice, I'm doing better. My voice is better, and I know that you're praying about that, and the Lord's helping me with that. But I'm not going to read the entire chapter, but I will be making reference to a lot in 2 Chronicles 34. You'll get the full story of King Josiah in chapter 34 and 35. It says Josiah, verse 1, was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves, the carved images, and the molten images. And they break down the altars of Balaam in his presence, and the images that were on the high above them he cut down. The groves, the carved images, the molten images, he break in pieces and made dust of them, and strode it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. And he burnt the bones of the priest upon their altars, and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so did he, the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon, even unto Naphtali with their mattocks round about. And when he had broken down the altars and the groves, and had beaten the graven images into powder, and cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. Now in the 18th year of his reign, so now he's how old? 26 years old. I mean, he's got a lot done by the time he's 26 years old. But in the 18th year of his reign, when he'd purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Messiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Joaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord, his God. When they came to Hilkiah, the high priest, they delivered the money that was brought into the house of God, which the Levites that kept the doors had gathered all the hand of the hand of Manasseh and Ephraim, and of all the remnant of Israel, and of all Judah and Benjamin, and they returned to Jerusalem. They put it in the hand of the workmen that they had the oversight of the house of the Lord. They gave it into the workmen that wrought in the house of the Lord to repair and amend the house. Even to the artificers and builders gave they it, to buy hewn stone and timber for couplings, and to floor the houses which the kings of Judah had destroyed. And the men did the work faithfully. And the overseers of them were Johath and Obadiah, the Levites, the son of Meraiah, and Zechariah and Meshulam of the sons of the Kohathites, to set forth, and other of the Levites, all that could skill of instruments of music. Also, they were over the bearers of burdens, and were overseers of all that wrought the work in any manner of service. And of the Levites, there were scribes and officers and porters. And when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given to Moses. And Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. And Shaphan carried the book to the king and brought the king word back again, saying, all that was committed to thy servants, they do it. They have gathered together the money that was found in the house of the Lord, and they delivered it under the hand of the overseers and to the hand of the workmen. Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah and Akiam, the son of Shaphan, and Abdon, the son of Micah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah, a servant of the king, saying, go, inquire of the Lord for me, for then that them that are left in Israel and in Judah, concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book. And I'll stop right there, and you can read the remaining verses this afternoon. I'm calling this morning a revival generation. And for this purpose, because I want to speak directly to the younger set that are a part of this church. Those of you that are in your teens and 20s and 30s, and if you're in your 40s and still feel young, then I guess you might fit into this category too. I don't want to exclude, especially in the area of responsibility toward revival, I don't want to exclude the older group here, you that are my age and even many of you that are older, as far as our responsibility in revival. But what I see is a pattern in the scripture as I was reading and studying about Josiah, and then I got to looking into revivals historically in the church, and I noticed there's this overriding pattern that seemed to be threaded all throughout history as far as revivals are concerned. And I noticed that younger people have been like the kindling of the fire, and eventually then the older ones of us would catch on fire, but the younger set would often be those that God would use to stir revival. When you think of Josiah, he's just 8 years old and he becomes king. How can an 8-year-old be a king? How can an 8-year-old lead a nation, especially a nation that is in such a terrible condition as Israel is in right now? They have followed king after king that was in rebellion, that was in idolatry. His own father was king for just 2 years and then was assassinated. His own grandfather was a very wicked king until he repented in the latter years of his life. Manasseh had turned toward the Lord in his latter years of his life. And so he didn't have that many influences. Family-wise, he didn't have that many people to lean on as far as spiritual strength or spiritual experiences in his life. But he becomes the king of Israel as a young boy. And there were influences in his life that made a big impact upon him. As I mentioned, his grandfather, Manasseh, later in his years, even though he was a very wicked king in the early part of his reign, and as a result, his son, who was Josiah's father, was very, very wicked. And but then this is the third generation. And I want to encourage people who maybe lived a wicked life in the early years of your life and you feel like it's a waste. Well, there's still room for God to restore and to rebuild. And even if one generation is lost, then Josiah no doubt was affected by the changes, the spiritual changes that were taking place in the life of his grandfather, Manasseh. And then it's also significant that Jeremiah moved into his prophetic office about the same time that Josiah became king. So it's without doubt that Jeremiah the prophet became an influencer of this young boy king and began to cause him to turn in the right direction. The Bible says that he walked in the ways of his father David. Someone was pointing him back to his spiritual father, back generations before, to David and the way David walked and the way that David lived. And so he walked in the ways of his father David and declined neither to the right nor to the left. And it's a remarkable thing, but I want young people here this morning to know, yes, we are obviously living in some really dark days. This is a time when there doesn't seem to be a lot of spiritual fire or life. And the flame is going out, it seems like, in this generation in many places. But that doesn't mean that God cannot use you as a young person to be an igniter of the flame and to start something right now in a dark, dark time. God, in the history of revivals, God has always moved in revival in the darkest of times, when things were so dark and so immoral and so far from truth. God would raise up those who he would put his hand upon them, and many times it would be those that were younger. I don't know if it was all of these influences that were on him. I know that they no doubt had played a big role in the life of young Josiah. But also there had been a prophecy 350 years before. You can read about it in 1 Kings chapter 13 in verse 2. And no doubt Jeremiah and some of these other, maybe his grandfather Manasseh, others who influenced him for righteousness' sake, no doubt had pointed him back to this amazing prophecy that was given in the time of King Jeroboam, 350 years before Josiah stepped on the scene. It's in 1 Kings chapter 13 and verse number 2. At the very time that Jeroboam worshiping at idol altars, that God, in chapter 13 of 1 Kings, he sends a prophet into their midst to prophesy to Jeroboam and to the nation at that time. Here's the word of the Lord from 1 Kings 13 and 2. He cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, "O altar, 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 saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name." Very few times that a prophet would prophesy and actually name the names of people. But he prophesied and said, "He's going to be born into the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priest of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee." That was in the days of Jeroboam, 350 years before Josiah was born. No doubt some of these influencers like Jeremiah had pointed back to that prophecy and said, "Yes, we're in a very, very dark name, dark time, but God knew your name 350 years ago, and he had a purpose for you and a plan for you to fulfill if only you'll walk in the right ways of the Lord." And to all of you who find yourself in the younger category, whatever age that you might be in here today, I want you to know that he knows your name. I want you to know that he's called you out and that this is a dark time. But if we are to experience revival, now I'm going to preach in another message to the older group. So don't feel like that you're getting off this morning, because you're next. But this morning I'm pointing my attention to the younger group here today. And I want you to know that here's a little quote from Vance Havner. He said, "Nobody else can do the job that God has marked you out for. You have been called of God. He knows your name, and you have a calling, a purpose, a job to do in this generation. And this can be a revival generation if we will take this to heart and we'll begin to seek the Lord with our whole heart." So someone had spoken to him. So a little child who, you know, children have an amazing capacity for spiritual understanding. And they may not understand every little doctrinal detail, but they can sense and feel the presence of God. They can hear the voice of God. And we have that, the example of that in many places in the scripture, of the attentiveness and the sensitivity of young people to hear the voice of the Lord. And we're called to our generation. We're called to our generation. In my own home church that I grew up in, the greatest revival, and I said there were many revivals, the greatest revival that I remember was a revival that I was baptized in the Holy Ghost, and almost, if not all, of the young people in that revival responded. It was an amazing move of God. It was almost like a domino effect, that after one committed themselves and went forward and began to give their all to Jesus, and then another one would come. And over the course of, I don't know how long the revival was, a week or two or whatever, I don't remember, but over the course of a few days, one after another, after another, after another, young persons in that church began to respond. And it was like a sweeping move of God that went through the church, and then it had an effect on all the others as they witnessed the hand of God touching the younger people in that place. Amen. And so I believe that God can move. I was thinking about, and many of us have heard about, Brother Huff's revival down at Pittsburgh Holiness Church. And he was just a kid preacher. I don't know how old he was, maybe 18, 19 years old, when he went there to preach that revival. And I've heard him talk about it. I've heard other people talk about it. I've heard people tell me they were saved during that revival. And I don't know, but I believe dozens of people came to the Lord in the course of that revival meeting. Many of those then later became members of this church. And some of them served the Lord all the days of their life and have already gone to heaven. And others of them are still serving the Lord and have been impacted by that revival. But it was largely a revival, as I understand it, of young people. It was largely a revival of young people getting stirred. Now, I know we could say, well, that was because the preacher was young, and that was the impact of a young preacher to influence other young people. And I know there's some validity to that, but I also know that God likes to stir the hearts of young people and speak to their hearts about His plan for their life and His purpose for their life. And many a young person that has responded to the voice of the Lord, they have witnessed and experienced God doing some wonderful, mighty things in and through their lives. And others who have rejected the voice of the Lord now have experienced the sadness of unrealized expectations of what God could have done and He would have done if we would have obeyed and listened to the voice of the Lord. So it was a very dark time. Josiah had very little family spiritual influences and not many that were really directly affecting him, certainly not the nation as a whole. He was up against a movement away from God, a movement of idolatry, a movement that was nothing but spiritual darkness, but God put something in the heart of this young boy. Amen. And so 8 years into his reign, now he's 16 years old. The Bible says that when he was 16 years old, that he began to seek after the God of David. So all in the first 8 years of his life, he's pondering it. He's looking at it. He's trying to do right. And he's trying to stay in step with righteous ways and doing it. But then when he turned 16, he started to seek God with his heart, whole heart. He began to seek after the ways of his father, David. And then 4 years later, when he was 20 years old, Josiah then began to destroy the idols. He began to tear down the groves and all of the idol worship. Everything, all the molten images, everything was completely destroyed. He didn't just send them out to do it. He was personally involved in it. Verse 4, and they break down the altars of Balaam in his presence. He was there. He was personally involved in making sure that idolatry was banished from the land, that there was a purging and a cleansing of the land. Do you know that young people can lead clean lives? Young people can live holy lives. Young people can separate themselves from the world and unto God. You can do that. And it's not a mistake. You will be going up against the crowd. You will be going the opposite direction of most in the culture around you, and sometimes even in the church culture. But that doesn't mean that God's hand is not upon you. His hand is upon your life. He wants to put his anointing upon you. And he wants you to cleanse and purge all of those things from your life and to seek the Lord with your whole heart. That's what Josiah did. He sought the Lord and he fulfilled the prophecy as he literally dug up the bones of those who were in idolatry and burnt them upon the altar. And the very prophetic message from 1 Kings chapter 13, he fulfilled it when he literally purged the nation of idolatry. It's an amazing, amazing story of what can happen when God puts his hand upon one young person and ignites a flame of revival in his heart and begins to give him a desire to live for God and to serve God. Oh, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing to give yourself wholly to the Lord, to dedicate yourself to the Lord. It's never an easy thing, but it's always the right thing, and it's always the most rewarding move you can ever make. Hallelujah. I think of when I walked away from a lot of my friends who were going another direction, and I went away to Bible school in Neosho, and I remember them pulling up in my front yard, a couple of them in their new cars, and I didn't hardly have anything to drive. I didn't have a car at that particular time, and I didn't have anything, any possessions except my Ludwig drums that I was telling Jordan about. I had a set of drums that I played, and I had to sell them because I couldn't afford to go to Bible school without selling my most prized possession. But I finally yielded to the Lord. I finally said, okay, God. And my friends pull up in the front yard, a couple of cars there, and I go out to talk with them, and they're sitting on the hood of their new cars, and we're talking about their things. And then I have to tell them, I'm going to Bible school. I've decided to pursue the work of the Lord and the ministry. It got totally quiet. Totally quiet. They didn't know hardly what to say. Well, they got a few words out like, well, we're glad for you, and we hope it works out okay for you. But it wasn't very long until they were going another direction. And I didn't see much of them, and haven't over the years a very few times that I've seen them. But I want you to know that it was the right move. It was a hard move, but it was the right decision. And it wasn't the end of troubles or questions or problems that I had. But it was the right move. It was the will of God. And something was down deep in my heart that would not allow me to move away from what was right. And so I turned my back on a lot of other things, cars and possessions. And I went to Bible school and I did not have anything. I didn't have any money. You know, one of the ways that I knew it was the will of God for me to go, when I was pondering over this, and my unsaved dad came to me and said, well, if you decide to go up there to that school, I'll pay your first semester. I just about fell over that my unsaved dad would pay. Of course, back then, first semester was only $350, Brother Jake, back in those days. Now it's several times more than that. There's a lot of money, and it's money that I didn't have, and it was a confirmation that I was moving in the will of God. I want you to know that God can, He can light a fire in your heart and can change your life for the better if you'll obey the voice of the Lord. And He can use you, if you're willing to say yes to the Lord, He can use you to ignite a flame of fire to touch the lives of others. Young people, many times we categorize young people as those that, you know, they've, and we even allow them. We say, well, they're young, they've got to have their good times, and there'll be time later for them to get serious, and this is just the time for them to relax and have a good time. And all the while, the devil has stepped up all of his efforts against them. And we're relaxing, and we're saying, just be casual about it. And Satan has enlisted all of his demons and imps and every lying force in the darkness of this world against them, and they're under fire. And so instead of saying, oh, let's be casual about your spiritual experience and maybe now you could just have a good time. No, I think that the challenge needs to come forth, that this is the time right now for you to commit yourself to the Lord. And don't wait for another day or another week to go by, but commit your ways unto the Lord, because God wants to use you to ignite a fire and be a part of a revival generation. Hallelujah. A revival generation that God wants you and me to be a part of. As I said, I'm speaking directly to young people. I want to give you a little information here that might be helpful to you, maybe encourage you. As I said earlier, that many times revivals have started among young people, and they became like the kindling. And then later on, God would use that kindling to set fire to the old logs. That's us older ones, the rest of us. But the reality is this, that God has always used the younger to ignite revival. Now, as I said, I'm going to talk to us older folks later. But today, I'm speaking to you that are younger, those of you that are teens and 20s and 30s, and maybe some of you in your 40s that you're still in that you feel all young. And you're in that category. I want you to know that God wants to use you. Joshua. Joshua spoke to the generation of those 20 and younger. Because the older set, the older generation, had walked away from the promised land in unbelief. And they all were going to die in the wilderness. And it was only going to be the younger generation. And he spoke to them. And he said, your little ones and your children, who you say will be victims, who today have no knowledge of good and evil, they shall go in there. To them I will give it, and they shall possess it. Amen. The younger generation were those that were going to go in and take the promised land, except, of course, for Caleb and Joshua. It was the younger generation. David was a young boy when he went up against Goliath and fought against that force that was an overwhelming adversary. And even Saul had said, you're not able to go up against this man. You can't fight with him. You're just young. You're just a youth. You can't fight against Goliath. And he's a man of war. But David said, no, I'm going to go. This uncircumcised Philistine is blaspheming my God. No one else is willing. I'm going to go. And I'm going to go out in the name of the Lord. And he marched across that brook, picked up the 5 stones, and went in the name of the Lord. And that young person experienced God's mighty power upon his life. Amen. And that was the beginning of his ministry in his life. Jeremiah was a young prophet who said, oh, Lord God, I can't speak. I'm a youth. I'm too young. I can't do it. But the Lord said, don't say that you're young, for you shall go to all whom I will send you, and whatsoever I command you, you shall speak. Hallelujah. Amen. I guess I need to ask younger people, to kind of say amen, because the old men and the old women aren't saying it yet this morning. Amen. John Calvin was 25 years old when he was saved, and within a year had completed his first draft of his famous book, Institutes of the Christian Religion, at 26 years old. Martin Luther was a young man when he started the Reformation, and he had a lot of young men who were helping him in the calling and the purpose that they were promoting. One was 21 years old, and they were all in their 20s and 30s whenever they were being used mightily of the Lord. Whitfield was age 21 and was one of the greatest. He began to preach at age 21 and was one of the greatest preachers of the 1700s. He often spoke to crowds in excess of 30,000 people, even without any amplification. The hand of the Lord was upon him. Jonathan Edwards was a young preacher in Northampton, Massachusetts, and God used him to influence the youth of his day, and God began to stir the whole eastern seaboard in revival, and it started in a young preacher and among young people who listened to the voice of the Lord. Amen. D.L. Moody began an outreach, 1858, an outreach to children and to young people in Chicago. He started a Sunday school for youth in a vacant tavern, which soon grew into a church filled with young believers. This was the launching pad for the ministry of D.L. Moody that influenced children and young people primarily throughout the years of his ministry. It's believed that he was responsible, either directly or indirectly, for up to 1 million converts. D.L. Moody speaking to children and young people. C.T. Studd was a convert under Moody's ministry. And in England, he was a sports star. Everyone wanted to be him. But he turned his back. He was the most famous cricketer in England. He turned his back upon that to preach the gospel. He was just a young college age young man. And he began to follow Moody and became one of his workers and converts. He toured colleges and universities and challenged students. Soon he started a group called Holy Madmen, launched out to redeem another generation of spiritual warriors. Should I go on? Amen. I'm telling you, God wants to put his hand upon us younger folks. Amen. Amen. He wants to put his hand upon you that are in your teens, some of you that are in your 20s. What are you waiting for? Are you waiting for something magical to take place? What God is looking for is for you to say yes to him, for you to step out and to be obedient to the voice of the Lord and do what he's commanded you to do. Amen. Evan Roberts, a movement known as the Welsh Revival in 1904. Evan Roberts, at age 26, went to his college principal and said, "I keep hearing a voice that tells me that I must go home to speak to our young people in my home church." So he began a mighty sweeping revival known as the Welsh Revival. And that revival touched the lives of so many people. Within 6 months, 100,000 people were affected by that revival that started in the heart of a young preacher, a young student in college. God can do just that. He can raise those up. God has moved throughout generations. Do you know that right now in the nation of China, they're experiencing major spiritual growth? And according to recent estimates, more than half of China's 1 billion population are under age 20. Imagine it. Half of the 1 billion that populate China are under age 20. China is a nation of young people, so it's not surprising that the house church movement has a preponderance of people in their 20s and 30s that are promoting revival throughout China. Hallelujah. Amen. Some sources estimate over 72,000 people a day are being converted in Red China. All across the world, there are those that are being touched by the Spirit of God and moved by the Spirit of God. We've got to believe that God can ignite a fire in a young lady or a young man here in our church, a young father or a young mother. God can ignite a flame of fire in the hearts of people with a desire, and so that a revival generation can be born for these last days. Too often, those of us that are older, we're thinking in terms of our better days are behind us. Someone would ask Brother Clendenin about his best spiritual experiences. What was it, Marcia, that he would say? It hadn't happened yet. He's in his 80s. What was your best spiritual experience? And Clendenin would say in his 80s, it hasn't happened yet. Praise God. And for those of you who think, well, my best life is in the past, and my best spiritual experiences are in the past, and I've lived through some wonderful things, it hasn't happened yet. We're in the last days. And these are the darkest days that I've ever seen in my 60 years, spiritually speaking. We are in great need right now. We are ripe for a revival. We are in need of an outpouring of the Spirit of God. And so instead of being casual and carefree about the way that you're living, allow the weight of the burden of revival to begin to sink down deep upon your heart and upon your spirit, and begin to do like Josiah did. Begin to do the right things. Amen. And then he first started doing the right things, and then he began to seek the Lord. He sought the Lord with his whole heart. Oh, I want you to know that if you'll seek the Lord, he can be found, and he will be found. If you'll seek him diligently, he will hear your cry. He will move in your behalf. He will move in your life if you'll put your confidence and your trust in the Lord as a young person. And then after that, he began to do a purging and a cleansing. He sought the Lord, and then he cleansed his life. He cleansed the kingdom. He purged the kingdom. I want you to know there is a price to be paid. But there's a great example in the life of Josiah, because judgment is about to fall upon that nation. But because of Josiah, when you read the remaining part of that chapter, that after the word of the Lord came to him, can you imagine the word of God lost in the house of God? Lost in the house of God. And they find it. And so they have been without the word of the Lord. Quite possibly Josiah has lived 20 years and he's never heard the law of God and all the progress that he's made spiritually, and he hasn't even heard the word of the Lord. He hears the law of God and he rends his clothes, and he's weeping and grieving over the fact that he has fallen away from God and falling away, that his nation has fallen away from God, and that judgment is weighing heavily upon them. Oh God. But God turned things around for Josiah in all of his reign, in all of his lifetime. God held back judgment. God held back the judgment. All throughout the years of his reign, no judgment fell in those years. You ever think about young person? You ever think about the fact that if I don't seek the Lord, if I don't experience revival, if I don't hear the word of the Lord, then this is a generation that's not going to experience the move of God. They're not going to hear from God, but instead the darkness of the judgment of this generation is going to fall upon them unless I seek the Lord, unless I call upon the Lord, unless I experience a revival in my own life. Amen. We got to believe that the Lord is going to raise up a generation in these last days. Amen. And we know that revival has always come in the darkest of time, the darkest of age. These are dark times. These are dark times. And I guess we're at a time now in our nation when we understand that we cannot look to the wisdom of man. We can't look to the leadership of man. We cannot look to anything that this world has to offer. The economy is so unstable. Everything that this world has to offer is really unstable territory. We've got to cry out to God. We have to be a people that will cry out to God. Young people, this is your hour. This is your time. This is your hour to cry out to God and to not be casual or carefree and just think, well, everything is going to work out all right. Not so unless we seek the Lord. Not so unless we purpose to not turn to the left are to the right. Not so, unless we will hear the word of the Lord and respond to it the way that Josiah responded to the word of the Lord. Now, timing is very, very important. And this generation right now is ripe for revival. This generation has the greatest opportunity now in these closing hours of this dispensation. We've got to see the hand of the Lord. We've got to see God working and moving. And I'm convinced that He will if the younger generation, as I said, I'm going to talk later to the older generation and talk about our responsibility. But this morning, I'm talking to the young. Would everybody around age 40 and younger, would you be willing to stand? Stand up. If you're 40 years old or younger, I know it's embarrassing because this kind of reveals how many of us are old. Stay standing. Stay standing. Amen. And some of you that are in your 40s, you're young too. I know. You're young. And God can put His hand upon you. But what, just with this group right here, I don't know how many are standing. Maybe 30, 40, I don't know. How many that are standing right now. But I've spoken this morning to you, directly to you, for this purpose, because I believe that God wants to ignite a flame of fire in your heart. So I don't see how it could ever happen. I can't speak. I don't have any experience. I can't be used of God in any kind of a way like that. It's just not possible. What about Josiah? He's a kid. His father is the worst idolater the nation had ever seen. His father was assassinated. His grandfather was a wicked king for many, many years and finally repented and turned back to God. Josiah had no experience. He had nothing that he could look to. He had to look to God. He had to look to the Lord. And thank God, no doubt there were those that God put around him who could help him and encourage him and point him in the right direction. And he knew enough to not do the wrong thing, to do the right thing. He had enough knowledge and enough heart to do what was right. Amen. And to seek the Lord. And I believe that God wants to raise up those among us here, young people, that'll say, okay, God, I'm going to say yes to you. I'm going to say yes. I've got my own plans. I've got my ideas about my life and my future. But the reality is, God's plan for your life is really what is important. Young people, young adults, young families, young moms and dads, you bear a heavy responsibility for revival, for a move of God. And I want to encourage you, all of you that are standing, if you would be willing to do so, step out and come here to the front of this sanctuary. Would you do that? Just step out and come on down here to the front. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.